Still rocking and rolling here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9-10 before we dish things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They've got Nats baseball tonight starting at 9-10 with Nats on deck. They'll get you warmed up for game one of Nats and Padres' massive series for the local baseball team as they get geared up to take on the Padres for three straight days. Right now, a half game back of San Diego for that final wild card spot in the National League. Per usual, Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will have you covered right here on The Fan. First pitch set for 9:40, but coverage starts at 9:10 right here on The Fan. As I mentioned at the top of the show as well, 48 hours away from night one of the NBA draft, the Washington Wizards, armed with the second overall pick, as well as pick number 26 in the first round, join me Wednesday night out on the concourse at Capital One Arena for our coverage of the 2024 NBA Draft. We will also be there on location at the scene of the Wizards' official 2024 draft party. We'll have a bunch of different guests stop by the program. And plus, we'll find out who's the next member of the Washington Wizards, who's the next piece to help hopefully accelerate this rebuild. We'll get into the rumors swirling around the Wizards in that number two overall pick as the 8 o'clock hour rolls on here tonight. But right now, I want to hit the phones hard. And before we do so, let's reset the scene for you if you're just joining us. ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier today gave us information regarding Brandon Ayuk and his contract negotiations with the Niners that we didn't have before. Take a listen.
Well, listen, he played with Jaden Daniels. I'm sure the two would love to get together. There were some conversations at one point between the 49ers and the Commanders. The Commanders were interested, but they decided not to do that deal. And so the 49ers didn't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk anyway. And I know he spoke with Ryan Clark, RC there. But the fact of the matter is, despite the fact that he said the 49ers don't want him back anymore, that's just not true. They absolutely do want him back. And according to RC, they are meeting today. That meeting will involve the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. They'll be meeting to have a nice discussion here before training camp is scheduled to kick off next month. We'll see what comes out of that meeting later today between all those sides.
Adam Schefter giving us the latest on Washington and potential interest in Brandon Ayuk. As I said a couple of moments ago, seems like Washington's interested, just not at the asking price of the Niners. And I think this is a step forward in a potential trade happening because I didn't think trade talks were even going down with these two teams. So a little bit of a stunner that we found out earlier today from Adam Schefter. In light of all the news surrounding Brandon Ayuk, big deal or no big deal that Washington and San Fran have negotiated in trade talks for Ayuk? And then are you comfortable with Washington's receiving core heading into training camp without a Brandon Ayuk trade? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Jerome out in the National Harbor. What's going on, Rome? Jerome, that's embarrassing. You're probably losing money. That's why you're not picking up the phone out in National Harbor. You're probably throwing your money away instead of picking up the damn phone. Don't call into the show if you're not ready to talk. Jeez. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Before we get back out to the phones, the one thing that continues to make me more intrigued about a potential Ayuk deal is that I know what it could potentially do for Jaden Daniels. But as I continue to harp on, if they don't pull the trigger on this deal, my expectations for Jaden Daniels are still sky high. I still think he has everything it takes to be a great quarterback in this league. And that's before even seeing him in training camp at 11-on-11 with pads. Before preseason, before any of that. Some of you old haters out there are going to say that I'm premature and I'm going to be cautiously optimistic and I'm going to take a show because I've been here before. Shut up! It's okay to be optimistic. It's okay to sip the Kool-Aid a little bit, man, because everything you're hearing about this kid is that he's got the right mental makeup, the right approach, right, to be a big-time quarterback in the National Football League. And if he comes in and hits the ground running, I think it completely raises the ceiling about what Washington could be next year. So much so that I wouldn't put a ceiling on them, because I think, based on everything you're hearing, you watch the tape, right? We all did getting ready for the draft. You watch the tape, you watch the film. It gives Lamar Jackson, right? You think it's Lamar Jackson-esque. But I think up top, from a cerebral standpoint and a work ethic standpoint, we've got Tom bleeping Brady. Everything you hear from Jaden Daniels is how much of a film junkie he is, how much he wants this, how much work he's put into it all. So he's going to be good with Brandon Ayuk or without Brandon Ayuk. But I do acknowledge this. Brandon Ayuk and acquiring him raises the ceiling a little bit and makes me look at it differently. I'm all for providing the quarterback resources, but one thing that I don't think we talk about enough here in terms of a potential Brandon Ayuk deal, who's the odd man out? Is it former first-round pick Jahan Dotson? Is it this year's third-round pick Luke McCaffrey? Is it eventually Terry McLaurin? Because his contract up after the 2025 season. So it's a lot of different angles and ways that you can look at it. But the bottom line is they're better with Brandon Ayuk, but signing him or not signing him does not make me waver in how I feel this offseason has went. They've knocked it out of the damn park. 110%. What was it, last week we were talking about Seth Walder giving them a C-plus for their offseason great? The hell does Seth Walder know? And I'm being facetious when I say that. He's one of the most respected guys at ESPN, analytics guru, blah, blah, blah. But it's haterade. It's like it gives haterade when you talk about, now I'm saying it's given. Sheesh. That's a moment in time. If you feel me, you feel me. If you don't, you don't. But in reality here, like, this offseason went about as well as it possibly could have for Washington. And I think they have set themselves up for long-term success. And I think they'll have it. I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe this is the group. I do. And I think this is the quarterback as well. See, everything this offseason to me is about Jaden Daniels, which is why I understand the Ayuk interest and people getting all hot under the collar about acquiring him or not. But as we'll discuss further here in this 8 o'clock hour, Jaden Daniels is made up of all the right stuff. And that matters. Because when your quarterback works as hard as Jaden Daniels does and other guys within that organization begin to see it and they all buy in and lean into the fact that everyone's counting them out and that this is an opportunity for all of them to etch their names in history forever, we will all remember the first Commanders team that makes the playoffs. We will all remember forever the first Commanders team that starts this thing, you know, rolling downhill. It'll be like a snowball effect. Because I'm telling you, some of you out there are old and angry, but some of you out there really are dying and salivating for something to get behind with this group. And I'm telling you, based off of everything that you continue to hear about Jaden Daniels, he's the guy you can get around. He's the guy you can rally around. He's the guy that can lead you out of purgatory. And I think it's going to happen. As we roll throughout the show here, we'll let you hear from Yahoo senior reporter Jory Epstein, who had a one-on-one sit-down with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn during mandatory minicamp. She was out in Ashburn and got to talk to head coach Dan Quinn and got some great nuggets about what folks are saying in the building about Jaden Daniels and just how optimistic we all should be about what Jaden Daniels can be. She wrote an article for Yahoo over the weekend, and I'll retweet it out right now. It's at NELL_BTP. Jory Epstein talked to Dan Quinn, and based off of this conversation, it's hard for me not to be bought in about this kid, man. If he does fail, I'll wear it, bro. I'll wear it. If he does fail, I'll wear it. But, and it's just no way I'm betting against the guy that's got the work ethic that he has. And it ain't just for show. It ain't for clicks. What people are talking about with this kid, it's the fabric of his DNA and what makes him tick, what makes him great. I'm not taking that away from him. He wants it. And I'd be damned if I'm going to poo-poo on it because you all think that it's not possible that you're in wait-and-see mode. Wait and see. Don't be late. Don't be late to Jaden Daniels mania. The hype right now for this young man is at a fever pitch, and I'm telling you, if they land Brandon Ayuk, the hype is going to be doubled. But to keep it real and keep things on the cutting room floor here, if they trade for Ayuk, I feel better about Jaden going out and cooking, and I think it'll help him for sure. But even if they don't, Jaden's going to be fine with what he has here in-house. And he is going to be the guy that is the catalyst for this turnaround. See, for whatever reason, we've tried to, and I guess it's for good reason, but I don't think he's the type of kid that would crumble under adversity or pressure. They're trying to ease the expectations in terms of what he will be in year one. I think they should embrace it. He's got a real shot to take the league by storm, as do the Commanders. But it all starts with him. It would help if they had Brandon Ayuk. I get that. But if they don't, I still think they're in a damn good position. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Big deal or no big deal that according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, the Commanders and the 49ers have engaged in trade talks surrounding Brandon Ayuk. And then a two-parter for you here. If they do not pull off a trade for Brandon Ayuk, are you comfortable with Washington's receiving core heading into training camp about a month away? Jaime is in Manassas. What's going on, Jaime?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man.
Great show, as always. Hey, I think, you know, Jaden Daniels is doing his body a solid and putting pictures out there and they hang it together and this and that. Look at the 49ers already started talking contract. That's exactly what he wanted. I don't think there's too much smoke. If they had conversations, they maybe exploratory ones. I don't think that wide receiver position is our priority, to be honest with you. I would say I'm content with what we have. Now, if they can put a deal and a trade like they did when Adam Peters was with the 49ers and they traded for Trent Williams, stop the offensive line because that will get me excited.
Yes.
But not a receiver, man. I think we have more needs than that.
For sure. Jaime, I appreciate the call as always. I'm interested to hear from you all on this because Twitter is part of you all. The calls are different. I disagree with Jaime a little bit. Like, I'm not upset if they go and trade for Brandon Ayuk. And I wouldn't see it as a bad move even if you consider receiver to be a luxury position. Understand that there are other question marks on the roster. Corner, another edge rusher, offensive line. But in terms of what's out there and available to acquire at those positions, I don't think it's comparable to Brandon Ayuk and what he is as a receiver. Now, like I continue to say, if the move happens, great. If it doesn't, I still have all the confidence in the world that Jaden Daniels, based off of what he can control, will put this team in position to, like I said, I feel, barring health, which is obviously the caveat in any of these record conversations, 9-8, 10-7 is what my gut feel. And I know you're taking on the vaunted AFC North. I get that you play football in the NFC East with two, you know, conference contenders in Philadelphia and Dallas in your division that you got to see twice a year. I'm just telling you that everything we're hearing about this quarterback, it's just different. I've been around for three other first-round picks being drafted. The commentary surrounding those guys, not the same as the one surrounding Jaden Daniels. Jeff is in Mount Vernon. What's going on, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I think it'd be great to get Ayuk. I think if Commanders get him, he'd automatically be the number one receiver. McLaren would be number two. But from what I understand, San Francisco wanted a number one pick plus a receiver in return. And the GM, Commander GM, said he offered up Brown or Dotson. And San Francisco wanted McLaren.
Are you saying that what if that was the case or what here?
Yeah, from what I understand,
I'm not trading
that,
Terry McLaurin for Brandon Ayuk.
And San Francisco saying that
I don't even think San
Ayuk
Francisco
is a better receiver than McLaurin.
Jeff, I don't think
he's a top 15 receiver in the league.
Jeff, I don't think the folks in San Francisco are that stupid to think that they would net McLaurin. See, if you're just tapping into the show, it's very obvious to me what we're at right now. Where we're at right now. Everyone knows that Ayuk is disgruntled, so the asking price for San Fran can only be so high. Because at the end of the day, everyone knows he wants out, and you can get him next year as an unrestricted free agent. So I don't think they'd be crazy enough to ask for Terry McLaurin back in the trade. And I appreciate the call as always. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I saw that narrative circulating around on Twitter. Y'all must be on the Booger Sugar. I mean, there's just no way San Fran would be out their rabbit ass mind if they asked for Terry McLaurin and a Brandon Ayuk deal. Are you kidding? Why would Washington do that? Come on now. Let's go to Jerome out in National Harbor. You ready for us this time, man?
Yeah, brother, I'm ready for you. I appreciate your time, man. I love your show, man. You got beast mode on your show. I appreciate you.
I appreciate it, sir.
When I first saw it, I sat and watched it because I'm by height biased. So I watched both of them, and I watched Brandon Ayuk, damn good route runner, damn good coming out of the break. He can shake any cornerback, split the defenses. But I watched him, at least 30 minutes of his tape. Then I watched our brother, Terry McLaurin. And I'm going to tell you, people probably won't know, agree with this, but I watched Terry McLaurin is better than Brandon Ayuk. And I'm going to say that, and I know you probably think I'm a lunchbox, but I say that because I watched Terry McLaurin's catches, the types of catches he had to come back for, fight for, jump for, dive for, jump on the ground for, spin in a circle, and damn near in many instances, almost damn near backflip to get to catch the passes. So he couldn't get yak. He couldn't catch his stride. He couldn't catch on the run to get additional yards, and he still succeeded with raggedy quarterbacks. Now, you look at Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is a precise, on target, on the money, on the run, throwing his passes.
Jerome, if your argument is that, you know, Terry McLaurin is a better receiver than Ayuk, I agree with you for all the reasons that you're listening. I mean, Ayuk has had it a lot better at the quarterback position in comparison to what Terry's had.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't stop me from going after him, though.
But I think we have two of the same, and I think we would want to have a dynamic where we got a big bruiser with some speed, but a bruiser that intimidates folks that can squelch a cornerback that's trying to check him. And they have some speed they can throw over the top. I think we want to have diversity instead of having these 5'10", 6'10".
That's
16.
Interesting in terms of just physical profile. I dig it. Jerome, I appreciate you tapping in as always, my brother. Yeah, look, I can hear – you can make the argument any which way about why they should do it or why they shouldn't do it. I think there are more reasons why they should than why they shouldn't. But either way, like I said, it doesn't make me waver in my confidence level in the team or Jaden Daniels if they don't acquire Brandon Ayuk. He is going to be fine. Talking about Jaden Daniels, he will be fine, I promise you. We got a jam-packed week of overtime coming up for you. I retweeted it out at NELL_BTP. Jory Epstein, senior NFL reporter for YahooSports.com, sat down with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and provided some really interesting nuggets about how Jaden Daniels in the process has gone for him to this point. They're sky high on him in that building. Some of the insight that we got from Jory is just out of this world. She will join us tomorrow night here on Overtime at 8 o'clock to give us the latest on what she's hearing from Ashburn. But we will play some of Jori Epstein talking about, you know, Washington and what they're getting from Jaden Daniels as the show rolls on here, because there is one piece of information that was divulged by Jori that I'm not sure that a lot of folks are privy to, really highlighting just how much access Jaden Daniels has to the building. Right now, though, want to continue to take your calls. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. One, is it a big deal or not that, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Washington and San Francisco have already engaged in trade talks for Brandon Ayuk? Big deal or no big deal? And then, if Washington cannot acquire Brandon Ayuk, are you comfortable with what Washington has at the receiver position as we get geared up for training camp? John is in Potomac. What's going on, John?
Yeah, answer to number one is it's a big deal. I mean, you have a rookie quarterback out there, and you have a chance to give him an A-plus wide receiver. Without that, you've got a C-plus. McFarland is great. That's it. But with the acquisition, you have the chance to honestly give this guy two All-Pros at both wide receiver slots. I mean, come on. What Damian Redskins team that has been great that hasn't had multiple All-Pro wide receivers?
Or even Pro Bowl to that level. Even when Kirk Cousins was in his heyday here, DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, Jordan Reed. I hear what you're saying, John. But what I would say about what Washington already has in-house at the position is this. We know Terry McLaurin is a top. I believe Terry McLaurin is a top flight receiver in this league. I just think he hasn't had the quarterback play to put him in position to put up the numbers to go with it.
The guy is great.
And I look at Jahan Dotson, John, who you just drafted in the first round two seasons ago. I think he gets a mulligan for last year because the whole offense was run by an idiot in Eric Bieniemy, and he was damn good in year one. So I'm a little bit more bullish or in wait-and-see mode, I would say, in terms of the rest of the receiving core outside of McLaurin, to where I don't know if it's a necessity to get Ayuk, but I'm not oblivious, John. I understand it would be massive for the quarterback.
Look, my friend, I'm 50 years old. I've waited another year. But we can't wait another year. We have a
John, you know what, John?
Something to work with.
John, and honestly, and I'm 26, and that's the mentality that I have. I feel like I've wasted away many a seasons on this group, and I hear you. I want it now. And that's kind of where I'm going with this, John. I appreciate the call. I appreciate the call, John. I want it now. I want it now. I want it now. Because I want it now. I get angry at you all for not having John's mindset. Because some of you feel like, all right, wait and see mode. We just drafted the kid. We haven't seen him in training camp yet, so I can't buy in. You continue to listen to the show tonight. I'll give you multiple reasons why you can buy in. I'll let you hear Terry McLaurin drop some nuggets on him about Jaden Daniels when he joined SVP last week on SportsCenter. And then Jori Epstein, senior NFL writer for YahooSports.com, set to join us tomorrow night here on Overtime. She sat down with Dan Quinn for a one-on-one exclusive in Ashburn and got some really good nuggets on just how smoothly the transition is going for Jaden Daniels from LSU to Ashburn with the Commanders. Want to continue to take your calls. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Two-parter for you. Big deal or no big deal that ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting Washington and San Francisco engaged in trade talks earlier this offseason surrounding Brandon Ayuk, and Washington said no dice. Big deal or no big deal on that. And then if they can't pull the trigger on this Ayuk deal, I know some of you on Twitter are going to be in a tizzy over it, but if they can't get the deal done, are you comfortable and confident in what Washington already has at receiver going into training camp? Will, out in Brandywine. What's going on, Will?
Hey, look, no.
Will, I'm going to throw you back on hold. Your phone, you sound insufferable. Are you back?
You hear me now?
I got you now.
Okay, I said, no, it's no big deal to me. I mean, I understand you talk to teams if they have assets to make your team better, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, so no big deal.
Well, I'm going to throw you on hold because your phone line is crapping out on us. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Big deal or no big deal that according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, Washington and the Niners already have engaged in trade talks on Brandon Ayuk. If we got it ready, I'll let you hear it from the horse's mouth one more time. ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier today on NFL Live spilling the tea on trade talks between Washington and San Francisco.
Well, listen, he played with Jaden Daniels. I'm sure the two would love to get together. There were some conversations at one point between the 49ers and the Commanders. The Commanders were interested, but they decided not to do that deal. And so the 49ers didn't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk anyway. And I know he spoke with Ryan Clark, RC there. But the fact of the matter is, despite the fact that he said the 49ers don't want him back anymore, that's just not true. They absolutely do want him back. And according to RC, they are meeting today. That meeting will involve the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. They'll be meeting to have a nice discussion here before training camp is scheduled to kick off next month. We'll see what comes out of that meeting later today between all those sides.
Adam Schefter, you heard it from the horse's mouth, telling us the news that we just broke to you. Washington and San Francisco have already engaged in trade talks surrounding Brandon Ayuk, but Washington decided that the deal did not make sense for them. Big deal or no big deal that those trade talks are happening? And then, two-parter for you, if Washington cannot pull the trigger on a deal for Brandon Ayuk, are you comfortable with what Washington has at wideout as we sit here a month away from training camp? Good brother. Prez. Out in Laurel, what's going on?
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, man? Love the question. Love the show. The content's great. To answer your question, man, comfortable with what's going on and going into the season, I guess comfortable, the answer would be yes. But do I love it? Is it ideal? I would say no. For me, a chance to get a guy like Brandon Ayuk, if it's true from what I've heard from different people on Twitter and so forth, that you can get a second or get him for a second or something of that nature, maybe a future pick. I think a guy of that talent, one of the best route runners in the league, one of the best one-on-one kind of able to get separation, get open, got all those intangibles in the league to pair with Terry and Jahan, I think gives you an exceptional receiver room. And isn't that what you want when it comes to having a rookie quarterback, perhaps, who'll be starting the season and so forth, and you want to put him in the best position to be successful? I think right now be aggressive and make that move. But if they don't, I think we have enough pieces with the creative minds that we now have in the room in terms of running the offense to certainly, you know, be successful. But I think that just kind of puts you in a really, really great position if you can grab another guy who's competent, respected in the league, you know, can demand some attention. Guys kind of know what he's capable of, and they can't ignore him on the field. And whatever respect you want to talk about Jahan Dotson, he's still somewhat unproven. So I think it would help, you know.
For sure. Prez, I appreciate you as always. I agree with what he said 100%. That's what I've been saying. I get the benefits of adding Brandon Ayuk, but if it doesn't happen, it's not a situation where I lose confidence in what Jaden Daniels and this offense could be in year one. Because like I continue to say, this is the first time in Terry McLaurin's career that he has had a young quarterback as talented as Jaden Daniels. For one, let's just be real. This is the first time he's had a quarterback that's going to put in the work the way that Jaden Daniels is. And that's really the thing that's got me feeling good about not only what Jaden Daniels could be, but what Washington could be as a whole. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM at National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Based on what Adam Schefter reported earlier, Washington and San Francisco have already engaged in trade talks about Brandon Ayuk. Big deal or no big deal? And then two, if they can't pull the trigger for Brandon Ayuk, do you feel comfortable with what Washington already has at the wide receiver position? Let's go to Jeff in Sterling.
Hey, what's up now, man? Just showing my love, man. I met you about a year ago when they drafted Emmanuel Forbes, man. Man, listen, man, I'm excited, man. I'm right down the street from Ashburn right here, man.
And, for sure.
You know, like, I'm on my way to work, man. I over here drive past, man, been driving past Cliff and all these people, man. And it is exciting, man, about Jaden Daniels. But, you know, walking around here with Brandon Ayuk, man, you know, the best friend, butt buddy, man. Like, I think Adam Peters got to pull that trigger, man. He just got to go get him, man, because if not, we can't afford another, like, you know, for him to, like, regress because he's sad. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Hopefully, though, man, he is mature enough from what he's shown. I think he is, man, to the point where, you know, feelings ain't going to get in the way of what his goals is. And it seems that this kid really do want to be great, man. And I'm just excited, man. You know, it's a thing when you don't hear none of the real fans, man, saying that we about to go to the Super Bowl this year. So the league should be scared right now, bro, because the real fan base is quiet right now, bro. And that means something. Thanks for the call, man. Thank you.
Jeff, appreciate you tapping in as always. Look, And I understand. I consider myself a real fan. I'm not talking Super Bowl, but I can see 9-8, 10-7 in this group taking the National Football League by storm. The one thing I want to continue to say to all of you out there and why I'm so optimistic is if Jaden Daniels can hit the ground running, Lord knows what the ceiling is for this franchise. And I keep comparing him and making the C.J. Stroud comparison in terms of impact. I think he can have that type of impact here in D.C. And maybe, just maybe, for the first time in my lifetime, we've finally answered the most important question in all of pro sports. Who's your franchise quarterback? Will and Brandywine, if you got your phone working, my brother, we'll take it. What's going on?
Can you hear me now?
We got you. What's going on?
Hey, man, look, so no big deal to me. You know, at the end of the day, kick the tires on getting better. If it works for you, move on. As far as being comfortable with what we have left, hey, man, it feels like 2012 to me. I'm just excited to see what's going to happen. Hopefully it's 2012 without the end of 2012, but
right.
It feels like 2012 to me, bro. I mean, what we have for now is good to go. I mean, we just got to run with it. You don't know what you got until you hit that field in September. So you got to be comfortable with what you have right now, because that's what we have to play with.
Well, appreciate the call as always, my brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Your calls next here on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor list of lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. Taking you up to 9:10 the night before we dish the rock to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for Nats baseball, which you can also hear tonight on The Fan. It's a 9:40 first pitch. Patrick Corbin set to get the start in game one of a massive three-game series with the San Diego Padres. The Nats entering tonight's game, half game back of San Diego for that final wild card spot in the National League. So make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all night long to see whether or not the Nats will be in the postseason after tonight. Said it at the earlier portion of the show. I want to talk about it because it's exciting, I guess. Nats potentially being in the postseason, but like, there's like 9 teams in this NL wildcard race. And I just think that, realistically speaking, the bigger story with this group is you may potentially have found some diamonds in the rough in terms of young starting pitchers that can hopefully help accelerate this rebuild for the Washington Nationals. Rod is in Landover. Wants to tap in, though, on the Commanders. What's going on, Rod?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm good, brother. How you feeling?
I'm all right. Look, so, man, so I think the team, we look like we got a pretty okay team, but, man, we have to go get Brandon Ayuk, man. So it's like the perfect storm. Our quarterback that played with this guy in college, we draft him right at the same time he's having contract problems with San Francisco. I mean, it's like the perfect storm. It's crazy, man, because for years, you know, when we had Daniel Snyder as the owner, we would pay guys a lot of money who was over the hill, past their prime. And this guy is in his prime. He's in his prime. He's about 25, 26 years old. He's best friends with our quarterback. The man, I think in college, I think I read somewhere in college, he went for over 1,100 yards with our quarterback when our quarterback was a rookie. He was a freshman in college.
For sure. Yeah, those two, that's where they go back to. And Rod, I would say this too: they're best friends, man. I think there's so much reason to do it. My bigger thing is the reaction on social media and based on some of the calls. A lot, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, but when I say y'all, I'm speaking about the fan base. Acts as if they don't get Brandon Ayuk, then we have nothing at wide receiver, and I just don't think that's the case.
I don't think that's the case. But I will say this though. I think Brandon Ayuk will make this team at least two more wins better easily. Because now you, to me, with Terry McLaurin, I think he's a good wide receiver. But to me, it seemed like as the year goes on, he kind of lose a little bit of steam, and I see why, because he's probably doubled and triple teamed because we really don't have nobody on the opposite side. But if you put somebody on the opposite side of this guy, I think it will preserve Terry McLaurin. Because now you can take him off the field for a little while, keep Brandon Ayuk on the field, and then give Terry McLaurin a breather. Then you can take Ayuk off the field, put Terry McLaurin. You just got so many options. I heard he was a good run blocker too.
He's
a good run blocker. So I just think, man, I think the owner, GM, whoever, they need to pull the trigger, man. I think the whole fan base will understand exactly why they did what they did if they go get this guy.
Rod, I appreciate the call as always. Look, yeah. I hear it. I know all of the reasons why you would do it. And I think I've made that pretty clear. Like I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. And I understand that comes along with the new contract for Ayuk. That's all fine and dandy for the reasons Rod just listed. He's 26 years old, man. An ascending player. And Rod is almost like it's like opening up a wound. For years, we saw this organization overpay guys that were past their prime. So I hope a holdup in this trade isn't that Washington's reluctant to pay Ayuk because he's in his prime. And I don't think that's the case at all. I'll just put that out there. There's no way that's the case. What the issue probably is San Fran is asking for too much, and Washington feels like, okay, well, based on my intel with Jaden Daniels, who is basically best friends with Ayuk, he ain't bluffing about not showing up. So you're either going to pay him or you're going to trade him. And if I'm Washington, I do understand if you want them to move with some urgency here, because training camp is, what, a month away? Whichever way this thing goes, I think they'll be fine because the quarterback has the goods. So much so that when we come back, I'll let you hear what Jory Epstein learned from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn about the unprecedented access they have given Jaden Daniels to the Commanders practice facility. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor List of Lines. You can tweet at us as well. It's at NELL_BTP. Taking your calls on the news that broke earlier today. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Washington and Brandon Ayuk have already had trade conversations earlier this offseason centered around star wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, and Washington saying, nah, we'll stay put, but for now. So who knows whether or not Washington will re-engage San Fran. I have to imagine that they do. We also learned today Brandon Ayuk requested a meeting with the San Francisco 49ers that took place today in Southern California between Ayuk, head coach Kyle Shanahan, and general manager John Lynch, to hopefully get some clarity on the contract situation for Ayuk. Ryan Clark also stating that Brandon Ayuk feeling jaded toward the San Francisco 49ers, and the message pretty clear: pay me or trade me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Big deal or no big deal that Washington has engaged in trade talks with the Niners? And then, two-parter for you. Are you comfortable with Washington's current crop of wideouts heading into camp if they don't pull the trigger on a deal for Brandon Ayuk? Chris is in Sterling. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, now I'm a big fan, dude.
Hey, I appreciate you.
So I think they should go ahead and trade up for Brandon Ayuk just because of the fact that I'm going to give an example of two best friends joining together as a teammate in one team. A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
That connection is gold. So having a connection just like Jaden Daniels and Ayuk together, it's going to be something else. The fact that Jaden Daniels is already pro-ready and seems like he's a good kid, he's going to be able to give the ball to Brandon Ayuk and maybe even get Jahan Dotson a little bit better. I know there's like a bunch of questions about Christian or the McCaffrey kid, but at the same time, they're still rookies in their rookie contract, along with Jahan Dotson. So I think it'll just benefit the entire team, especially with the air raid offense. Dude, you never know who's going to get the ball.
For sure. Chris, let me ask you this, because I agree with everything that you said. I understand what it does for the quarterback and how it could potentially accelerate his development process. But how do you feel about the rest of Washington's wide receiver corps if they don't pull the trigger on Brandon Ayuk?
I think they're going to be okay. Just okay. Just because of Jahan Dotson is Jahan Dotson. Let's just all hope that he ascends to be a very good wide receiver. But the rest are okay. McCaffrey is still a rookie. Dyami Brown, I've given up on this guy. and the other guy.
Don't sleep on Dyami Brown, Chris, is what I would say.
I know. It's the past, since he was drafted. Really,
we haven't had a quarterback, Chris.
Anything.
We haven't had a quarterback, Chris. That's all I would say. I appreciate the call as always. Made a bunch of good points. Appreciate you tapping in with the show as always. I'll put my final thoughts on the situation like this. Either way, Ayuk being here or not, I think Jaden Daniels is going to come in and set the National Football League on fire. I do understand, though, how much easier of a task that becomes if they can acquire Ayuk. If they don't, though, I expect a big year out of Terry McLaurin. I expect Jahan Dotson to bounce back in a major way. Just how I expect this entire offense to bounce back based off of what was going down and what's continuing to be reported about last year offensively. Point blank. Washington fans, it's safe, I promise you, to get behind Jaden Daniels. I know it's early still, but the hype train that is Jaden Daniels, it's just leaving the station, baby. One final segment coming up here on Overtime. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take over at 9:10 to bring you Nats on Deck as we get you warmed up for Padres and Nats. Take a quick timeout. More Overtime next on The Fan. One final segment here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We got Nats baseball coming up here on The Fan. It's the Youngest in Charge movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10. About 8 minutes left to go in the program. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on deck. Get ready to bring your Nats on deck pregame show for a massive, massive opening game of a three-game set versus the San Diego Padres. As we've told you all night long, Nats half game back of the Padres for that final wild card spot in the National League. So tonight, massive, to say the least. Patrick Corbin on the bump. And I want to correct something I said earlier. I said if Corbin is better, or I hope that Corbin is better than what he was in his last outing. Whew. Put some respect on Corbin's name. Last outing. One run, three hits, seven strikeouts. The start before that, though, we got blown up. So you get what I'm saying, and appreciate my guy, VA Caps fan, for tweeting that at me. But Patrick Corbin stunk all year. Hopefully we get 2019 Patrick Corbin tonight, and he gets this three-game set off to a good start. Real quickly here on the Washington Nationals, the next month here is really going to be huge because you got this series coming up tonight against the San Diego Padres, who I mentioned just a half game back of. Then you got a series against Tampa Bay. Then you take on the New York Mets, who are right behind you in terms of this loaded National League wildcard picture. They're a game back. And then you take on the St. Louis Cardinals in a series after that. They're a game of they're a game ahead of San Diego, in the win-loss column in terms of this National League wild card. They currently are holding down the second wild card spot. So the Nats with a massive opportunity, if they're going to be for real, to make some movement and make some moves here in the wild card race here in the next couple of weeks. Want to finish things up, though, on the Washington Commanders. Want to reset it for you here while we got it second. This is Ryan Clark from earlier today giving us a little bit of tea on a called meeting between Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. Ayuk, earlier today, met with San Fran.
We're actually meeting with the San Francisco 49ers today. He and his representation, Ryan Williams of Athletes First, you know, and Brandon Ayuk told us that he wanted to set this meeting up himself. And when he was sitting with the Pivot, he said that he's taking these negotiations personal, that the way that they have negotiated with him, the way that they have told him why he's worth what he's worth, it has touched him. It has affected him. He says he wants to be in San Francisco first, but is comfortable playing elsewhere if that's something that the San Francisco 49ers are willing to do via trade. And I will tell you this, when he sat with us, he did not walk into the room alone. First, it was Brandon Ayuk. Second, it was Jaden Daniels. I'm not a tea leaf reader, but the way that that sounds is that Brandon Ayuk wouldn't mind playing in Washington.
Ryan Clark earlier today throwing gasoline on the fire that is Brandon Ayuk to Washington. I know a lot of you out there in the fan base eager for a move to happen. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, you may get what you're looking for.
Well, listen, he played with Jaden Daniels. I'm sure the two would love to get together. There were some conversations at one point between the 49ers and the Commanders. The Commanders were interested, but they decided not to do that deal. And so the 49ers didn't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk anyway. And I know he spoke with Ryan Clark, RC there. But the fact of the matter is, despite the fact that he said the 49ers don't want him back anymore, that's just not true. They absolutely do want him back. And according to RC, they are meeting today. That meeting will involve the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. They'll be meeting to have a nice discussion here before training camp is scheduled to kick off next month. We'll see what comes out of that meeting later today between all those sides.
Keep it locked on the Fan all day long tomorrow to get the latest on Brandon Ayuk's meeting with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure more details will spill out about that here in the coming hours. And then early tomorrow morning, starting with the Junkies, they'll have full reaction to everything that we found out here today. A pretty interesting day on the Brandon Ayuk trade front. I continue to feel that, look, while I would certainly be thrilled with adding Brandon Ayuk, and I understand what it does for a young quarterback when you surround him with as many premium weapons as possible. I get all of that. But if they don't pull the trigger on a Brandon Ayuk deal, I'm more than confident in Washington's ability to hit the ground running offensively, specifically because of the new quarterback here in Washington, D.C., Jaden Daniels. Everything you hear about this guy is that he's made up of all the right stuff. About Jory Epstein, senior writer for the National Football League for YahooSports.com. She is set to join the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so make sure you keep it locked right here on the Fan. Check out the article that she wrote. She did a one-on-one sit-down with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and got plenty of interesting nuggets about how Jaden Daniels in his transition to Ashburn from LSU was going. She gave out this nugget earlier today and let you know that Jaden Daniels, large and in charge.
Dan Quinn was telling me the story of his assistants giving out the black plastic fob keys to all of the players. And he's like, hey, can you leave one back for me? And he and Adam like walk up to Jaden and they're like, we have something for you. And Dan just hands it to him and goes 24 hours. And he wanted him to know, like, we want you to bring that work ethic that you had at LSU to the Commanders.
24-hour key card access for Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders practice facility in Ashburn. We've already heard all the stories coming out about how early he's already getting to the facility for him to have 24-hour access. No limit on how great Jaden Daniels can be in year number one. Whether they're able to add the young Brandon Ayuk or not, I'm confident in Jaden Daniels' ability to hit the ground running here in D.C. because of little nuggets like that. He wants to be great. I continue to say it. When your quarterback is the guy that's first in, last out, and he's a rookie, other guys start paying attention. And then that work ethic, that want to, that desire to be great, it's contagious. It's infectious. And it's part of why I think Washington is in damn good position to shock the National Football League world in 2024. Big thank you to all of you all for calling into the show. Shout out to Metal Chris keeping us up to speed all show long. That is going to do it for this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's been the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. You can tweet at me. It's at @NELL_BTP. Jory Epstein, who we just heard from and who wrote the really interesting, insightful piece on the Washington Commanders over the weekend. She sat down with the head coach, Dan Quinn, and got plenty of nuggets. She is set to join us tomorrow night right here on The Fan, so make sure you keep it locked. We will get more into the Washington Wizards tomorrow night, as well as we will just be 24 hours away from night one of the NBA draft. Keep it locked right here on The Fan for Nats Baseball, coming up next. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Lister Lounge. You can tweet at us as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. Taking your calls on the news that broke earlier today. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting that Washington and Brandon Ayuk have already had trade conversations earlier this offseason centered around star wide receiver Brandon Ayuk, and Washington saying, nah, we'll stay put, but for now. So who knows whether or not Washington will re-engage San Fran. I have to imagine that they do. We also learned today Brandon Ayuk requested a meeting with the San Francisco 49ers that took place today in Southern California between Ayuk, head coach Kyle Shanahan, and general manager John Lynch, to hopefully get some clarity on the contract situation for Ayuk. Ryan Clark also stating that Brandon Ayuk feeling jaded toward the San Francisco 49ers, and the message pretty clear: pay me or trade me. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Big deal or no big deal that Washington has engaged in trade talks with the Niners? And then, two-parter for you. Are you comfortable with Washington's current crop of wideouts heading into camp if they don't pull the trigger on a deal for Brandon Ayuk? Chris is in Sterling. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, now, I'm a big fan, dude.
Hey, I appreciate you.
So I think they should go ahead and trade up for Brandon Ayuk just because of the fact that I'm going to give an example of two best friends joining together as a teammate in one team, A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
That connection is gold. So having a connection just like Jaden Daniels and Ayuk together, it's going to be something else. The fact that Jaden Daniels is already pro-ready and seems like he's a good kid, he's going to be able to give the ball to Brandon Ayuk and maybe even get Jahan Dotson a little bit better. I know there's like a bunch of questions about Christian or the McCaffrey kid, but at the same time, they're still rookies in their rookie contract, along with Jahan Dotson. So I think it'll just benefit the entire team, especially with the air raid offense. Dude, you never know who's going to get the ball.
For sure. Chris, let me ask you this, because I agree with everything that you said. I understand what it does for the quarterback and how it could potentially accelerate his development process. But How do you feel about the rest of Washington's wide receiver corps if they don't pull the trigger on Brandon Ayuk?
I think they're going to be okay. Just okay. Just because of Jahan Dotson is Jahan Dotson. Let's just all hope that he ascends to be a very good wide receiver. But the rest are okay. McCaffrey is still a rookie. Dyami Brown, to be honest, I'm giving up on this guy. And the other guy.
Don't sleep on Dyami Brown, Chris, is what I would say.
I know. It's the past, since he was drafted. Really,
We haven't had a quarterback, Chris. That's all I would say. I appreciate the call as always. Made a bunch of good points. Appreciate you tapping in with the show as always. I'll put my final thoughts on the situation like this. Either way, Ayuk being here or not, I think Jaden Daniels is going to come in and set the National Football League on fire. I do understand, though, how much easier of a task that becomes if they can acquire Ayuk. If they don't, though, I expect a big year out of Terry McLaurin. I expect Jahan Dotson to bounce back in a major way. Just how I expect this entire offense to bounce back based off of what was going down and what's continuing to be reported about last year offensively. Point blank. Washington fans, it's safe, I promise you, to get behind Jaden Daniels. I know it's early still, but the hype train that is Jaden Daniels, it's just leaving the station, baby. One final segment coming up here on Overtime. Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler will take over at 9:10 to bring you Nats on Deck as we get you warmed up for Padres and Nats. Take a quick timeout. More Overtime next on The Fan. One final segment here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We got Nats baseball coming up here on The Fan. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9:10. About 8 minutes left to go in the program. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on deck. Get ready to bring your Nats on deck. Pre-game show for a massive, massive opening game of a three-game set versus the San Diego Padres. As we've told you all night long, Nats half game back of the Padres for that final wild card spot in the National League. So tonight, massive. To say the least, Patrick Corbin on the bump. And I want to correct something I said earlier. I said if Corbin is better, or I hope that Corbin is better than what he was in his last outing. Whew. Put some respect on Corbin's name. Last outing. One run, three hits, seven strikeouts. The start before that, though, we got blown up. So you get what I'm saying. And I appreciate my guy, VA Caps fan, for tweeting that at me. But Patrick Corbin stunk all year. Hopefully we get 2019 Patrick Corbin tonight and he gets this three-game set off to a good start. Real quickly here on the Washington Nationals, the next month here is really going to be huge because you got this series coming up tonight against the San Diego Padres, who I mentioned just a half game back of. Then you got a series against Tampa Bay. Then you take on the New York Mets, who are right behind you in terms of this loaded National League wildcard picture, their game back. And then you take on the St. Louis Cardinals in a series after that. They're a game ahead of in the win-loss column in terms of this National League wildcard. They currently are holding down the second wildcard spot. So the Nats with a massive opportunity, if they're going to be for real, to make some movement and make some moves here in the wild card race here in the next couple of weeks. Want to finish things up, though, on the Washington Commanders. Want to reset it for you here while we got a second. This is Ryan Clark from earlier today giving us a little bit of tea on a called meeting between Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. Ayuk, earlier today, met with San Fran.
We're actually meeting with the San Francisco 49ers today. He and his representation, Ryan Williams of Athletes First, you know, and Brandon Ayuk told us that he wanted to set this meeting up himself. And when he was sitting with the Pivot, he said that he's taking these negotiations personal, that the way that they have negotiated with him, the way that they have told him why he's worth what he's worth, it has touched him. It has affected him. He says he wants to be in San Francisco first, but is comfortable playing elsewhere if that's something that the San Francisco 49ers are willing to do via trade. And I will tell you this, when he sat with us, he did not walk into the room alone. First, it was Brandon Ayuk. Second, it was Jaden Daniels. I'm not a tea leaf reader, but the way that that sounds is that Brandon Ayuk wouldn't mind playing in Washington.
Ryan Clark earlier today throwing gasoline on the fire that is Brandon Ayuk to Washington. I know a lot of you out there in the fan base eager for a move to happen. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, you may get what you're looking for.
Well, listen, he played with Jaden Daniels. I'm sure the two would love to get together. There were some conversations at one point between the 49ers and the Commanders. The Commanders were interested, but they decided not to do that deal. And so the 49ers didn't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk anyway. And I know he spoke with Ryan Clark, RC there. But the fact of the matter is, despite the fact that he said the 49ers don't want him back anymore, that's just not true. They absolutely do want him back. And according to RC, they are meeting today. That meeting will involve the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. They'll be meeting to have a nice discussion here before training camp is scheduled to kick off next month. We'll see what comes out of that meeting later today between all those sides.
Keep it locked on the Fan all day long tomorrow to get the latest on Brandon Ayuk's meeting with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure more details will spill out about that here in the coming hours. And then early tomorrow morning, starting with the Junkies, they'll have full reaction to everything that we found out here today. A pretty interesting day on the Brandon Ayuk trade front. I continue to feel that, look, while I would certainly be thrilled with adding Brandon Ayuk, and I understand what it does for a young quarterback when you surround him with as many premium weapons as possible. I get all of that. But if they don't pull the trigger on a Brandon Ayuk deal, I'm more than confident in Washington's ability to hit the ground running offensively, specifically because of the new quarterback here in Washington, D.C., Jaden Daniels. Everything you hear about this guy is that he's made up of all the right stuff. About Jory Epstein, senior writer for the National Football League for YahooSports.com. She is set to join the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so make sure you keep it locked right here on the Fan. Check out the article that she wrote. She did a one-on-one sit-down with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and got plenty of interesting nuggets about how Jaden Daniels in his transition to Ashburn from LSU was going. She gave out this nugget earlier today and let you know that Jaden Daniels, large and in charge.
Dan Quinn was telling me the story of his assistants giving out the black plastic fob keys to all of the players. And he's like, hey, can you leave one back for me? And he and Adam like walk up to Jaden and they're like, we have something for you. And Dan just hands it to him and goes 24 hours. And he wanted him to know, like, we want you to bring that work ethic that you had at LSU to the Commanders.
24-hour key card access for Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders practice facility in Ashburn. We've already heard all the stories coming out about how early he's already getting to the facility for him to have 24-hour access. No limit on how great Jaden Daniels can be in year number one. Whether they're able to add the young Brandon Ayuk or not, I'm confident in Jaden Daniels' ability to hit the ground running here in D.C. because of little nuggets like that. He wants to be great. I continue to say it. When your quarterback is the guy that's first in, last out, and he's a rookie, other guys start paying attention. And then that work ethic, that want to, that desire to be great, it's contagious. It's infectious. And it's part of why I think Washington is in damn good position to shock the National Football League world in 2024. Big thank you to all of you all for calling into the show. Shout out to Metal Chris keeping us up to speed all show long. That is going to do it for this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's been the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. You can tweet at me. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Jory Epstein, who we just heard from and who wrote the really interesting, insightful piece on the Washington Commanders over the weekend. She sat down with the head coach, Dan Quinn, and got plenty of nuggets. She is set to join us tomorrow night right here on The Fan, so make sure you keep it locked. We will get more into the Washington Wizards tomorrow night, as well as we will just be 24 hours away from night one of the NBA draft. Keep it locked right here on The Fan for Nats Baseball, coming up next. One final segment here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. We got Nats Baseball coming up here on The Fan. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:10. About 8 minutes left to go in the program. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on deck. Get ready to bring your Nats on deck pregame show for a massive, massive opening game of a three-game set versus the San Diego Padres. As we've told you all night long, Nats half game back of the Padres for that final wild card spot in the National League. So tonight, massive, to say the least. Patrick Corbin on the bump. And I want to correct something I said earlier. I said if Corbin is better, or I hope that Corbin is better than what he was in his last outing. Whew. Put some respect on Corbin's name. Last outing. One run, three hits, seven strikeouts. The start before that, though, we got blown up. So you get what I'm saying, and appreciate my guy, VA Caps fan, for tweeting that at me. But Patrick Corbin stunk all year. Hopefully we get 2019 Patrick Corbin tonight, and he gets this three-game set off to a good start. Real quickly here on the Washington Nationals, the next month here is really going to be huge because you got this series coming up tonight against the San Diego Padres, who I mentioned just a half game back of. Then you got a series against Tampa Bay. Then you take on the New York Mets, who are right behind you in terms of this loaded National League wildcard picture, their game back. And then you take on the St. Louis Cardinals in a series after that. They're a game of they're a game ahead of San Diego, in the win-loss column in terms of this National League wild card. They currently are holding down the second wild card spot. So the Nats with a massive opportunity, if they're going to be for real, to make some movement and make some moves here in the wild card race here in the next couple of weeks. Want to finish things up, though, on the Washington Commanders. Want to reset it for you here while we got a second. This is Ryan Clark from earlier today giving us a little bit of tea on a called meeting between Brandon Ayuk and the San Francisco 49ers. Ayuk, earlier today, met with San Fran.
We're actually meeting with the San Francisco 49ers today. He and his representation, Ryan Williams of Athletes First, you know, and Brandon Ayuk told us that he wanted to set this meeting up himself. And when he was sitting with the Pivot, he said that he's taking these negotiations personal, that the way that they have negotiated with him, the way that they have told him why he's worth what he's worth, it has touched him. It has affected him. He says he wants to be in San Francisco first, but is comfortable playing elsewhere if that's something that the San Francisco 49ers are willing to do via trade. And I will tell you this. When he sat with us, he did not walk into the room alone. First, it was Brandon Ayuk. Second, it was Jaden Daniels. I'm not a tea leaf reader, but the way that that sounds is that Brandon Ayuk wouldn't mind playing in Washington.
Ryan Clark earlier today throwing gasoline on the fire that is Brandon Ayuk to Washington. I know a lot of you out there in the fan base eager for a move to happen. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, you may get what you're looking for.
Well, listen, he played with Jaden Daniels. I'm sure the two would love to get together. There were some conversations at one point between the 49ers and the Commanders. The Commanders were interested, but they decided not to do that deal. And so the 49ers didn't want to move on from Brandon Ayuk anyway. And I know he spoke with Ryan Clark, RC there. But the fact of the matter is, despite the fact that he said the 49ers don't want him back anymore, that's just not true. They absolutely do want him back. And according to RC, they are meeting today. That meeting will involve the 49ers general manager, John Lynch, the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. They'll be meeting to have a nice discussion here before training camp is scheduled to kick off next month. We'll see what comes out of that meeting later today between all those sides.
Keep it locked on the Fan all day long tomorrow to get the latest on Brandon Ayuk's meeting with the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure more details will spill out about that here in the coming hours, and then early tomorrow morning, starting with the Junkies. They'll have full reaction to everything that we found out here today. A pretty interesting day on the Brandon Ayuk trade front. I continue to feel that, look, while I would certainly be thrilled with adding Brandon Ayuk, and I understand what it does for a young quarterback when you surround him with as many premium weapons as possible, I get all of that. But if they don't pull the trigger on a Brandon Ayuk deal, I'm more than confident in Washington's ability to hit the ground running offensively, specifically because of the new quarterback here in Washington, D.C., Jaden Daniels. Everything you hear about this guy is that he's made up of all the right stuff. Our pal Jory Epstein, senior writer for the National Football League for YahooSports.com. She is set to join the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, so make sure you keep it locked right here on the Fan. Check out the article that she wrote. She did a one-on-one sit-down with Commanders head coach Dan Quinn and got plenty of interesting nuggets about how Jaden Daniels in his transition to Ashburn from LSU was going. She gave out this nugget earlier today and let you know that Jaden Daniels, large and in charge.
Dan Quinn was telling me the story of his assistants giving out the black plastic fob keys to all of the players. And he's like, hey, can you leave one back for me? And he and Adam like walk up to Jaden and they're like, we have something for you. And Dan just hands it to him and goes, 24 hours. And he wanted him to know, like, we want you to bring that work ethic that you had at LSU to the Commanders.
24-hour key card access for Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders practice facility in Ashburn. We've already heard all the stories coming out about how early he's already getting to the facility for him to have 24-hour access. No limit on how great Jaden Daniels can be in year number one. Whether they're able to add the young Brandon Ayuk or not, I'm confident in Jaden Daniels' ability to hit the ground running here in D.C. because of little nuggets like that. He wants to be great. I continue to say it. When your quarterback is the guy that's first in, last out, and he's a rookie, other guys start paying attention. And then that work ethic, that want to, that desire to be great, it's contagious. It's infectious. And it's part of why I think Washington is in damn good position to shock the National Football League world in 2024. Big thank you to all of you all for calling into the show. Shout out to Metal Chris keeping us up to speed all show long. That is going to do it for this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's been the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham. You can tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. Jory Epstein, who we just heard from and who wrote the really interesting, insightful piece on the Washington Commanders over the weekend. She sat down with the head coach, Dan Quinn, and got plenty of nuggets. She is set to join us tomorrow night right here on the Fan, so make sure you keep it locked. We will get more into the Washington Wizards tomorrow night, as well as we will just be 24 hours away from night one of the NBA draft. Keep it locked right here on the Fan for Nats Baseball, coming up next.